Today on Real Radio.
We need to always ask and be careful to always ask directions from God. Always, you guys. By the way, it's a good but humbling thing, but good to ask directions from God. It's to confess our human weakness when we ask for directions. Every man knows that when he's lost. He can't ask for directions. It's humiliating. But to ask God for directions, that's a good humbling thing that we need to do.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. We're in a series within a series by Pastor Jack called The Will of God in Your Life. The will of God is so important in your life that Pastor Jack has decided to extend this series. Frankly, the phone calls keep coming in, so let's continue. The lesson is taken from 1 Samuel chapters 9 and 10. So here's more in this mini-series by pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs called The Will of God in Your Life.
Listen, to be controlling really also biblically means to be directing. God is very much into directing. And I love, you're going to hear this verse a couple of times tonight, Galatians chapter 1, verses 13 to 16. You can mark it down in your notes, or you can turn there if you like. Galatians 1, 13. I love this. Those of you who were with us just recently in Petra, in Jordan, you're going to want to pay attention to this because this had something to do, or this verse has something to do with where we stood that day in Petra because Paul was there. Galatians 1:13 says, "For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism," says Paul, "how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries of my own nation." Paul is speaking about his exploits as being a Jew, a Hebrew. "Being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God," isn't that funny? He was doing everything against God. "But when it pleased God, who," what? "Separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace." Verse 16 says, "He revealed his son in me." Isn't that amazing how much God puts up with us until we come to the knowledge of him? It blows my mind. I think about the witness of a friend of mine. Well, of a friend of mine. He's sitting right there. I'm not paying a bit of attention to me right now. How what appears to be life's circumstances in Vietnam put him in a wheelchair. But he was the first one to open up my young Christian eyes to the fact that God, he believes God put him in that chair to get his attention. Because he was such a stinker, like we all were, that he wouldn't have listened to God otherwise. Now you might say, well, how come I wasn't? Or how come you weren't put in a wheelchair? You know what? For some it takes certain things, for others it's something else. But what blows my mind, and one of the greatest joys I've ever had, is to not only see this guy come to Christ and meet him and watch all the things that's going on in his life, but to see a guy, and some of you were with us back then, where he's got a heart to go to Russia. Russia is not a handicapped nation. They don't care. When you're, by the way, you don't see handicapped people on the streets in Russia. There's no place for them. But he got on an airline and flew on this trip. It was a terrible airline trip. And spent 2 weeks in Russia to share the love of God, and he witnessed and ministered to people that none of us could ever touch. And soldiers there that were out of fought in the Afghanistan war down there that we could have never ministered to. How does that happen? By God controlling and directing our lives from our mother's womb. And does it always meet our approval? No. My friend, listen, it's not going to either. Shall the clay that spins on the potter's wheel rise up and say, "Why have you formed me like this?" to the potter? Can you imagine? You're on the potter's wheel. You're just a lump of clay, and you're just there, and he starts forming you, and he makes you into an ashtray, and that ashtray says, "What are you making me like this for?" God could say, "You ungrateful, slimy, stinking piece of dirt," and throw you against the wall, right? He could. He made us. He's formed us. And he's called us from our mother's womb, which means really that's very romantic talk, but what it means is before the foundations of the world were ever laid, God had a plan. He ordained it, he's performing it, and he's controlling it in your life. How sad the world tonight. Tomorrow morning, they're being printed now, but tomorrow morning the world will wake up, run to the paper, and look for their daily horoscope. To get there, see, you laugh because it's a joke to you, thank God. But for some people, they're going to get up tomorrow morning and say, what am I going to do today? Businessmen, corporate leaders, executive power women, whatever position, are going to run to the paper to find out, what will my day be like today? Oh, I'm going to meet somebody interesting. Well, wake up. You meet someone interesting every day if you'll say hi. Just say hi to somebody. It's wild. I was in Seattle. I got on an airplane and they totally messed me up completely. It was wild. I had a seat, had a window seat. You know, I'm a freak about window seats. Got to have them. Had it reserved there. It's all fine. And I'm getting on the plane and the lady goes, you know, you fly us frequently. Why don't you stand off to the side for a moment? Because we have some open seats in first class. We're going to just throw you up there free. Say, okay. Thank you, Lord. So I stood there. And unbeknownst, I didn't know. They had a shift change right there in front of me. They changed and that woman never communicated to the other woman. So they're calling all these things. Okay, the final call. And I said, you know, there's a lady, and she misunderstood me. She thought that I was standby. So she starts shutting the door, and she goes, well, you know, we have a flight out at 11. Well, this is last Saturday, a couple days ago, and I'm thinking I need to be here in the morning early. And she says, we'll get you into L.A. at 11. I said, well, my car's in Ontario. Oh. Shut the door. They don't care. And so the thing is, I said, well, you know, isn't this any good anymore? And I pull out my ticket. She goes, oh, we gave your seat away. I go, well, hon, give it. I've had this ticket for a long time. It's true. I had it for a long time. I said, I checked in here. I got to the airport early. I literally go check. Look, I checked in 3 hours ago. I was the first one here. And now you're telling me I don't have a seat. And she goes, that's right. And she goes, we will give you a $25 gift certificate. And I said, lady, to drive from LAX at 11 o'clock at night to Ontario Airport is going to be more than $25. We will cover that taxi for you. And I said, no, I wanted my plane. And so she goes, oh, yes, they have a seat. Oh, great, I get on, and somebody made a mistake, there is no seat. So they go, oh, no, you have to get off. And I said, okay. Well, as soon as I said, okay, I turn around and I walk, and the plane is packed. I turn around, and then I said, oh, and I had a great attitude about it. God was with me. I said, you guys, listen, everybody, don't check in too early. Don't check in too early, and don't fall for it. We might have a seat in first class for you, because it didn't work. So you keep your ticket, and you be careful next time, each and every one of you now. And I'm not going to see those people again. What do I care? I turned to get off. That's what they're going, oh, man, we're sorry. I turned to get off, and there was an Alaskan airline pilot sitting on the plane. He says, hey, buddy, you can have my seat. That was a great announcement. You take my seat. I can get another plane. I said, thank you so much. I took his seat. And as soon as I sat down, this guy right next to me goes, Pastor Jack, how are you? I couldn't believe it. And he said, I want you to meet my wife. And he had three or four kids with him. They were vacationing in Vancouver. I felt this big. The reason why I brought that up is because God is controlling and directing our lives. He really is. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 9, Jeremiah says, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, Jeremiah. Before you were born, I sanctified you. That is the word set apart. I ordained you, Jeremiah. as a prophet to the nations of the world. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. All of God's people seem to say that to him. I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I'm a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Wow. Are you a Christian tonight? God's put his words in your mouth. He's ordained you. He's performing his will in your life, and he's controlling it all. He's directing you. When I can't find my direction, I just need to relax and let myself remember and know that God's controlling. Remember how this all started. Saul's donkeys got loose. And he was out wandering around, where's my dad's donkeys? And God used those donkeys to get him to meet up in the next, 24 hours, God told Samuel, about this time tomorrow, you're going to meet up with Saul. And it all started with donkeys running away. Crazy things, huh? We need to always ask and be careful to always ask directions from God. Always, you guys. By the way, it's a good but humbling thing, but good to ask directions from God. It's to confess our human weakness when we ask for directions. Every man knows that when he's lost. He can't ask for directions. It's humiliating. But to ask God for directions, that's a good humbling thing that we need to do. You can read more about that regarding Saul or Paul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9. I'll just paraphrase it, verses 1 through 6, where there Saul was breathing out threatenings against the church. Remember, he was brutalizing the church. And he was signing death orders for believers. And he thought he was doing God a service. And as he's on the road to Damascus, the Lord himself visits Paul, knocks him off his pony. Remember that? The glory of God knocked him flat off that thing. And Paul says, Saul says, Who are you, Lord? An interesting question, huh? Who are you, Lord? I wonder if Paul had a hunch. Who are you, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, and you're persecuting me. Now, technically, Paul hadn't done anything to Jesus. But when you touch the bride of Christ, when you touch the believers, you're touching Jesus. It's as though you're touching the apple of his eye, the most tender part of his eye. You ever had your eye tampered with? It's one of the fastest reactions in your body is to jerk away from something that's coming toward your eye. It's amazing. God's love for us. Why? He's got a plan. And we mentioned how God does not call him to Samuel. He does not call him commander. He calls Saul, or king, he calls him commander. Excuse me. And I just love how specific God is. I even love how specific God can be vaguely. You ever heard God specifically vague? What I mean by that is Hebrews 11:8. Oh, that's specifically vague. Let me tell you. Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called by God to go out and leave the place of his inheritance. And when he went out, he did not know where he was going. That's specific. God says, leave the place of your homeland. That's specific. Then Abraham starts going, and how vague is that? Okay, God, I'm following you. I'm leaving. That's the only info he had. Let's go. Can you imagine this summer? We wake up, roll out of bed. Hey, honey, let's go on vacation. Well, that's great. No, I mean, let's go. Now, go. Who? Let's go. Grab the dog, get the kids. Let's go. Well, where are we going? I don't know. But let's go. Where are we going? I don't have a clue. God will show us the way. Your wife will not get in the car. You know why? Because the dog won't even get in the car if that's the deal. You know, it's not going to happen. But even in God's vagueness, he's so specific. What do you mean? I mean this. Lord, this is the plan I need to know and I need to do and I need to go and I need to. And God says, you know what? Do this thing. Yes, that's. And I will, Lord, but you didn't hear the rest of my plan. And God says, you do this thing. And you're not going to see the rest of your plan until you do that one thing. You know, who was the guy that said a journey, you know, starts with one step? Was that Confucius or somebody? Or some Chinese proverb. There's a lot of truth to that spiritually. When God is leading, we have to make that first step. Moses got the children to the edge of the Dead Sea, or the Red Sea, excuse me. And they stood there, and Moses looks, it's great. He gets right up to the crest, and he looks, oh, that's a lot of water. And Moses in this, it's almost a PR moment, because he turns to the 2.5 million people. Ladies and gentlemen, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And he's talking, and the people are like, and chariots are coming. And you can hear the squeaking of the wheels and the clanging of metal, and Pharaoh and his people are coming. And God says, it's great. It's a Spielberg moment. God says, Moses, Moses, I didn't tell you to stand here. Go! Quick, hurry across. I just stand still and see the salvation of God. Now, in my flesh, I understand that. There's no way to go. But water ahead. We're going to drown. It's over. He turns to the people and says, stand still and see the salvation of God. Oh, God Almighty, what's going to happen? Oh, no, Lord. And God says, Moses, just close your mouth and get going. And I got a feeling, as soon as his foot hit that water, whoosh, I mean, you've seen the movie, haven't you? It opened up. And they all got swallowed up, those invading Egyptian forces. Which, by the way, if you get that CD on the virtual tour of Israel, there's some interesting photos at the bottom of the sea down there that has been unearthed. So that's just a little tease for you to get that teaching series on that CD. It's fantastic. God is so very good to us. We continue on with this. Let's keep going. Verse 17, we see here that God is so involved. So when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, there he is, the man of whom I spoke to you. This one shall reign over my people. Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, please tell me, where is the seer or the prophet's house? And Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer or the prophet. Go up before me to the high place, for you shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let you go and will tell you all that is in your heart. That's heavy. Think about what's going on. But as for your donkeys, they were lost 3 days ago. Do not be anxious about them, for they have been found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on you and all your father's house? Look how involved God is, how sweet this is. Even though God was rejected as king, God speaks to Samuel. Here's the deal. Come close to me. We're going to eat together. And by the way, did you know, young man, the whole nation's looking for you. You're out looking for donkeys? The nation's looking for you. They want a king. You're going to be the one to rule and reign over God's people. And so specific. God speaks to Samuel and tells him details. And he's going to even give more as we continue on with this. In verses 18 to 20, we see here that God is always providing what God wants to do. God will provide. Frankly, I don't think God provides for things that he's not interested in. We may provide for that thing. And it usually comes to nothing, or it's a monument to man. But when God's providing for something, you can rest and relax. It's going to be a good thing. Look in verses 18 to 20 here. As we just read that, when he says, don't be anxious, the donkeys have been found. Verse 20, and on whom is all the desire of Israel? It is not on you, and is it not on your father's house? This here just speaks to us how God is providing. As he controls, God provides. Chuck Smith taught us so long ago, you hear it all the time, when God guides, God provides. Isn't that just a neat little thing? You got to mark that down. When God's guiding, God's providing. You don't have to stress out about it. It's going to work. He's in it. By the way, a little bit of a spiritual investment counseling from the Word of God. Find out what God is in. Find out what God is interested in. That is incumbent upon you and I as believers. What is God doing in the world? Make sure it's of the Lord, and then get behind it. You can get behind it financially, you can get behind it prayerfully, or you can get behind it with your energy. Find out what it is. Invest in what God wants to do. Excuse me. Let's continue on. Chapter 10, we'll skip down to there. Try to cover the first five verses with the time remaining. Here in this portion, we see that God will be revealing his plan, ordaining, performing, controlling, and revealing. God will be revealing his specific plan in our lives. Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance?" See that word commander again? "When you have departed from me today, you will find two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin." We know that that's Bethlehem today, by the way. "And Zilzah, and they will say to you, 'The donkeys which you went looking for have been found, and now your father has ceased caring about the donkeys and is worried about you, saying, "What shall I do about my son?" Then you shall go on forward there from there and come to the Timnath tree at Tabor." There, listen, you guys, three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you. One will carry three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a wine or a jug of skin or a jug of wine. And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands. After that, you shall come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is. That's the camp of the enemy. And it will happen, when you have come there to the city, that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with stringed instruments, a tambourine, a flute, and a harp before them, and they will be prophesying. Now, we'll end with this portion of the study regarding the will of God in our lives, because from here on, from verse 6 down, we see God's fulfillment of this. But what an amazing thing. Listen how specific. Please be careful with this. How specific is God here, you guys? Extremely specific. He is revealing a very detailed order. Let that be a lesson to us. Don't be led astray. Don't go off some path. When somebody comes up to you, even though they may be a Christian brother or sister with a great game plan or a business deal, listen, you better pray. I don't care who they are. If a Christian wants to do business with this church, we enter into contracts. Because if you're a Christian, you should have no problem signing a contract. If you say, "Well, what's the matter, man? Don't you trust me?" I trust God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called The Will of God in Your Life. In fact, this is a mini-series taken from 1 Samuel chapters 9 and 10, and we'll continue with more of this fascinating verse-by-verse journey through this Old Testament book of 1 Samuel on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Well, it's Monday, and that means you can catch our television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. You can catch it on his channel, hischannel.com. We've been presenting some pretty informative discussions and interviews lately on Real Life with Jack Hibbs. In fact, Pastor Jack recently sat down with Dr. Ed Heinsohn to address the promises of God. Are they just for ancient Israel? Are they just for modern Christians? Maybe both? It's a great discussion. You should check it out. Just go to hischannel.com for Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Real Life with Jack Hibbs airs every Monday night, 7 o'clock West Coast time on his channel. You can also watch some archived programs like the one we just mentioned. That's hischannel.com. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.